अरे भंग का रंग जमा हो चकाचक।
पान, the little pop of mouth freshener post dinner, is actually a lot more than the sweet menthol and rose flavored nothing. It's a little bundle of nostalgia, a parcel of memories, and if we go to look at it, it's a statement about our Desi community spirit. The paan for me is a representative of Desi gatherings, not just in India, but all over the globe. And this paan is my topic for the podcast today. My name is Isha and this podcast is called Culture Chaos. Having spent all of my life as a proud Mumbai girl, my mind sort of went for a toss when I moved abroad. And since the past 7 years, I have been traveling from one country to another and have lost count of how many cities and houses I have moved. Culture chaos is what the state of my mind is. All my experiences of life away from home, trying to just make sense out of things. A lush, green, crisp betel leaf smeared with a combination of flavor and texture enhancers. A sprinkling of soft, tutti frutti, and a spoonful of rose petal jam or gulkand. The perfect symmetrical fold and it goes straight into your mouth and awakens all the five senses. Some of us love it and some of us just cannot stand it. But being a Desi, the paan is a statement that is hard to ignore. This paan and the paan shop selling it, what we call the panwari or the paanwala, is sort of at the center of this action. Whether it is stopping by to ask them for quick directions in the neighborhood, to getting some information of what's going on in the community around. This paan corner is where a lot of the action is. So for instance, in case of any crime, the paanwala is where you'd see the first set of information being collected, and that one paanwala is usually the source of most of the information and even gossip of the neighborhood, if I may say so. In cities like Mumbai, Banaras, or even smaller towns in Gujarat or Bengal, there could be tens of hundreds of paan shops in a small neighborhood, and if you've ever had a chance to live close to a paan shop and observe closely, you'd know that the daily clientele of this paan shop changes like the seasons in a year. I lived right next to one in Mumbai and it was so interesting to see how the crowd varied throughout the day, and this little shop catered to everyone, irrespective of their age or social class. From the children asking for a candy to that employee from the multinational corporation looking for his cigarettes. From the older uncle looking for his daily paan to the recently married man packing a little Calcutta meetha for his new bride. The paan shop is sort of the meeting point of the whole society. And rightly so. This paan shop has been represented everywhere. From the paintings of some legendary artists to the unrequited red spitting on the streets. From the songs and movies of Bollywood to the literature of Kama Sutra. This humble little paan has made its mark in a lot of places. While it very well might be a big cultural statement, for me, paan is one of the sweetest and the most consistent memories of my childhood. The smell of the paan reminds me of my grandfather and my uncles and my dad. Some of my early memories as a baby involve my great-grandmother on our home jula slicing supari with an ornamental silver nutcracker. Even though now modern science might want to disagree, back in the day, I used to hear my great-grandparents talk about the digestive values of the paan leaf and the astringent effect of the betel nut. My father till today treats himself to a paan after every meal, and it is almost an inseparable part of his life. When I visit my family back home, he very lovingly offers to customize my meetha paan for me and gets the paanwala to change some ingredients. I have oftentimes gone to the paan shops myself, but I can never recreate the magical concoction of caraway seeds, cardamom, cloves, and rose jam that my dad gets the paanwala to make for me. while the pan continues being a mystery for Westerners, desis have opened several pan shops and establishment in most of the countries where the Indians have moved to. Pan shops are more common in bigger urban centers abroad, and they're an even inseparable part of Indian community neighborhoods over here. I, for one, go out for pan as a dessert almost every weekend. It's an easy dessert, puts an instant smile on my face, reminds me of home, and all in all leaves me feeling good in my mind and my stomach both, I guess. Yes, there are pan shops abroad too now. But did you know, just like in India, pan shops here too are becoming sort of community hubs? From new parents who are stepping out of their homes to put their child to sleep on those car seats, to young college kids discussing how to move from the student to the work visa, from older uncles visiting their children abroad, finding comfort of their home country in these pan shops, to the little child whose parents are trying to recreate some experiences they had as children in pan shops in India. The pan shops abroad too are interestingly becoming small desi hubs. On the walls, you find handwritten advertisements of all types, from aunties promising you the perfect soft and home-cooked rotis, to lawyers and accountants who offer special discounts to people from the community. The pan shop sees it all. Every time I visit, I'm excited to hear the conversations, which could range anywhere, from discussing the state of politics in our home country to discussing the helplessness of being stuck in immigration problems. It's amazing how this almost irrelevant little pan creates an atmosphere of coming together and sharing a feeling of community. While living in North America, I have seen these pan shops stay open until the wee hours of morning, while all other businesses typically close on time. I have seen the whole country and the government shut down in times of storms, especially in the winter. But I know for a fact that in Indian neighborhoods, these pan shops are still functioning and giving our desi people their pan fix for the day. Now, I must say that by no means am I promoting the pan or the disgusting side of it coupled with the gutkha, which has ruined everything from people's health to the state of our streets. I have also never really understood the myth or the science behind the claims of the pan being medicinal, digestive, or an aphrodisiac for that matter, but I'm going to leave all of that on science. While not promoting or encouraging the pan or anything that goes inside it, for me, the pan remains to be a statement and a culture which reminds me of my childhood. And I see the same community spirit around the pan here in the West that I had seen at pan shops back home. For me, the pan is a true form of nostalgia and brings up an image of a 5-year-old me accompanying my father to his favorite pan shop. I would stretch the palm of my hand out to the panwala uncle and he would put in a few pieces of the colorful tutti frutti. This tutti frutti I would treasure for hours and enjoy it in bits. Those tiny tutti frutti would bring me so much joy when I was a child. The taste of the pan, the fragrances, and even talking with the pan on side of my mouth, they all remind me of my dad. They remind me of my life back home, and they remind me of my safe space, my comfort zone. Being able to relive that little joy is what's so precious to me. If I made you crave a pan after this, that's it for my episode today. I have been loving the messages and the notes, and I sincerely thank you guys for reaching out to me. Please continue sharing your experiences with me on Facebook or Twitter, or you could write to me on my email. Stay tuned for my upcoming episodes. This podcast is available on iTunes, Google Play, Saavn, Spotify, or your preferred podcast app. You can leave your feedback in the form of a review on iTunes. Thank you for listening. This is Isha, and you're listening to Culture Chaos.